you know, study after study suggests that this is a time of year, I guess it's the post-holidays, that everybody gets a little down. Not everybody, but, well, everybody at different times. And we've talked through depression the first week, and we talked through doubt. And what's funny about each one of these is as you start to mention them, everybody goes, oh, I don't deal with that one, so I can check out today. But we're going to talk about another one that you're going to say that to, but we all struggle with it on a pretty regular basis as we go through life. And this is this one. I'm going to talk today about what God has to say about overcoming discouragement. And you can get discouraged by watching a football game, or you can get discouraged by, I don't know, decisions your kids are making, or you can get discouraged by your finances, or you can get discouraged by just any of a whole number of things that aren't going exactly the way that you hope they would. And so we all struggle with these discouraging moments at times. And the truth of it, or the answer to the reason why we struggle with discouragement, is because life is hard. I mean, God is good for sure. He's amazing. He walks with us. He's with us all the time. He strengthens us. He gives us hope. He's working behind the scenes for our good and his glory. He constantly reminds us that he's God as we're going through life. God is amazing. He's not the author of evil, but only the author of good. But Satan's a jerk, and I don't know, people are complicating, and we go through some times that are just hard. So everybody has to deal on a somewhat regular basis with this whole discouragement thing. In fact, the only difference between your discouragement and then the discouragement of the person next to you is how severe it hits and when it happens. But again, anybody in here and everybody watching online today, you absolutely struggle with this, or a season of this, as you go through life. As a matter of fact, I'm going to make kind of a radical statement today, and it's this, that I think discouragement at times can be worse than depression. And you're thinking, well, wait a minute, Pastor, I know people that are depressed, or I'm depressed. There's no comparison. And so I in no way want to minimize depression. But I will say this, at least depression can be diagnosed, and you can get help with it. But with discouragement can kind of hide, can't it? Become this insidious thing within us, kind of growing like, you know, slow-growing mold or something like that. This starts to infect every part of our life, every corner of our body. It starts to sour our spirit and just puts this kind of layer of pessimism and negativity on us as we're going through life. I like the phrase, sours our spirit. It makes it harder to hope, harder to find strength, harder to look at the good side, harder to move forward at times. It can be a really bad thing for us. So today I want to take a look at this. How do you overcome discouragement when it comes into your life? And I want to do it in a kind of a different way. I want to sort of lead us through this a little bit this morning by asking you guys a few questions. And these actually are the questions you need to go through to move from discouragement to peace, or discouragement to hope, or discouragement to joy again in your life. So let me ask the first one, especially if you guys are going through one of these seasons right now. I want you to ask the question, when am I usually discouraged? Because the truth is, you need to ask this because it's a general big question, big picture question. When am I discouraged as I'm going through life? Because if you get honest about this stuff and you get honest with yourself about this and you dig through the answers a little bit, I promise you what you'll start to find is that there's a lot of commonalities during the times in which you get discouraged. And that's huge, right? Because if you can find the commonalities, then all of a sudden you can start to become aware of the seasons of life or the times in life where it just throws you off, where you get lost. Let me see if I can give you an example of this. So my kids are older now. They're amazing little, you know, young adults and stuff like that. But there was a time when they were kids, and they were the back seat of my car, and I don't know about your kids, but that's a little loud. But I don't know about your kids, but my kids, they would fight, and they would nag each other, and they would be mean to each other. And I would listen to this for a while, and then you know what would happen? I would get sad. I wouldn't get mad, although if you ask my kids, it probably looked like mad, but I would get sad. I would get discouraged. I'd say, why are they treating each other like this? I don't want them to treat each other like this. I want them to have a relationship. I want them to be friends when they get older. I don't like what's happening in the backseat of my car. And all of a sudden, I would get really frustrated and really discouraged about how they were acting with each other. What's so interesting to me is that when that would happen, again, I wouldn't get mad like you would think. I would get sad. I often wish that they would have invented something like Maxwell Smart had in The Chief, right? That cone of silence that would just come down over the backseat of the car where I wouldn't hear anything and they probably couldn't hear anything either. It would have been awesome. I would have put a second mortgage on my house if they had invented something like that. But what's interesting about all that is that when I looked at stuff, it wasn't just when my kids were fighting that I found that I was getting discouraged. It's when things weren't going right at work. It's when people I loved in my life were making some really horrible decisions. It's when I let somebody down. And I would go through one of these examples after another, and what I found pretty quickly is that the limit to my control issues is really limitless. You know, I find that I get discouraged when I can't control things, when things are going in a way that I don't like or I can't control, and they're going this way and I can't seem to do anything about it. And over and over and over again, those seem to be times in my life where I found I was getting discouraged. So let me just ask you the question, when do you get discouraged? I mean, can you find some of those common themes in your life? Mine obviously revolve around a lack of control, right? I'm a control enthusiast, so when I don't have control, it freaks me out. But how about you? And I ask that because when you start seeing some of the commonalities, that big picture stuff, then all of a sudden you can move to the second question, which is a lot more specific. And that second question really asks this, why am I discouraged right now? Why am I discouraged? As opposed to just being discouraged and feeling like a victim to it all, why am I being discouraged right now? And if, to be honest, this is a really difficult question sometimes. You have to peel stuff back. You have to look at your life more objectively. But I'll tell you, if you can get to the why, it leads to some real hope and to some real help in your life so that you don't keep falling into the same patterns again and again. All right, let me go back to my kids and let's kind of apply this a little bit. So the question that I was asking is this, is why was this discouraging me so much? And as I look back at it over the years, one of the things that I just know was happening is I was facing some fear. I was afraid. I was afraid of what would happen to my kids if they kept going down this path. I was afraid that I was kind of messing up as a parent, and I was looking at, should I be doing this? Should I be doing this? Should I be doing this? Oh, I missed that swimming one time when I was out of town. I mean, you know, it started adding to that fear guilt. So I had guilt and shame, and that just kind of went around in a circle. I found that I would get more and more discouraged. And I tell you what, when guilt and shame and fear, they start melding themselves together, it's pretty easy to get discouraged. And it's brutal when they get together. And the reality is, I would just say, you know, I just love it if I had this perfect little family and they got along, you know, this perfect little pastor's family. It could be modeled for everybody else, but that just wasn't the case. And I was afraid that if they kept going this way, things would get rough. But it was a huge discovery for me, actually, to realize that it was because of fear that I was acting this way. Because here's the thing, if you don't get to the why questions, you don't get to those kind of discoveries. And you wind up experiencing the same things over and over and over again in your life. You feel victim to your issues, actually victim to your issues, where you start yelling, right? Because you say, I'm just a victim. I can't help it. I'm just discouraged. But when you don't figure out the why, you keep going through those situations that you've identified and the why questions that set you off again and again and again. You'll justify your reactions, right? You'll minimize your accountability. I mean, I have to yell at them. That's the only thing that works, you say to yourself, because I'm discouraged. But again, if you don't get to the why, what I can promise you is that discouragement that you keep experiencing is something that will keep coming back again and again and again in your life. It will keep winning again and again and again in your life. It will keep complicating your life. And so one of the things is you'll stop living that bold life that God has for you to live. Do you think God wants you to be discouraged as you're going through life? No, discouragement is just a symptom of the fact that you've forgotten that he's there. You've forgotten that he's with you. You've forgotten that he's by your side, which kind of leads to the next question. What would God say to me right now if you were here? Right? You figured out the when, you figured out the why you're being discouraged. What would he say to you right now in the midst of your discouragement? And I ask that because God's word is the thing that provides surgery for the answers that you just found out in the why question. So what would have God said to me, you know, back in the day, right, when I was struggling with my kids in the back seat and struggling with fear? I would go to God and I'd say, God, do you have anything to say about fear in your word? And lucky for me, he has a whole bunch to say about it, right? Like 365 verses on fear. And they all say, don't fear. Fear not. I'm with you. Be strong and courageous, for I am your God. I am with you. There's hundreds of verses about fear. And he's just saying, Mike, I got you. And I got your girls. I'm with you in this process. I'm still working on them. Just trust that I've got this. You know, suck it up, little camper, right? Yeah, I've got this. Be strong and courageous. Or how about this one? I have another buddy, and his main discourager in life seems to be clutter. And okay, I don't get that one a whole lot, but he struggles with this. And so what would God say to him? And I talked to him about this, and he actually gave me the why. He says, here's why it drives him to discouragement. He says, when I feel messy inside, I want things to feel good and clean and tidy on the outside. Okay, so that's interesting, right? And so you start asking, does God have anything to say about this in his word? And you start reading through scripture and you say, well, sure enough, in Matthew 23, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, right? And he says this. He says this to the religious leaders. He says, first, wash the inside of the cup and then the outside will become clean. What's he saying? He's saying, don't worry about the outside so much, worry about the inside. And then Jesus goes on, and it gets a little mean, right? But he's addressing the truth. He's saying, you are like whitewashed tombs, beautiful on the outside, but filled on the inside with dead people's bones and all sorts of impurity. You try to look upright outwardly, but inside your hearts are filled with hypocrisy and lawlessness. So what would God say to my friend? He'd say, Steve, don't be so concerned about your outer world. Be more concerned about your inner world, because that's the world I care about, right? And you start listening to that, and you're like, well, wow, God even had something to say about that. God's word is filled with stuff that has direct application to our lives, especially when it's stuff that is messing us up, you know, mentally and physically and all those kind of things. Today, in the midst of our discouragement, I'm telling you, God has something to say to you too. What is it? Search the scriptures and see. And once you find the answers to that, hold on to them with both arms, because those are the things that give you healing. Those are the things that give you the ability to overcome. Those are the things that give you the ability to stop being discouraged so much. And I know sometimes, you know, you look at the whole Bible and it's like, this is pretty intimidating, right? But in the back, they have a concordance thing that gives you all sorts of themes and words that you can look up. There's also Bible promise books that you can get online that are like Cliff Notes versions, right? You struggle with fear and there are a whole bunch of verses. You struggle with loneliness, a whole bunch of verses, and on it goes. But there's one more question that I want to give you, and it's this. Where do I need to change so I stop getting discouraged? You know, it's an interesting thing. Scripture says that a humble and contrite heart God will never despise. In Bible studies, I keep saying that the road off, I don't know, I'll call it the negative train, right? The road off of the sin train, the road off of the discouragement train, the road off of the anger train, the road off of all these things that Satan wants to do in your life starts with repentance. Starts with this idea of humbling ourselves and saying, God, I'm messing up. I need you. Please clarify my mind. Please remind me of what you've got, that you've got me. Please remind me of the direction I need to go, all those different things. So one of the questions that we ask at the end is, what do I need to change so I don't have this keep happening to me anymore? And this is sort of the positive side of discouragement, because when you start looking at discouragement, what it reveals hopes and unfulfilled hopes. It reveals expectations and unfulfilled or unrealistic expectations. But it reveals things that we can change, and that's the big thing. And so when we think about changing, I always encourage to start with the simple stuff first, right? So start with the basic stuff. Because sometimes you just need to change your surroundings. It can be that simple. I keep telling a story when we were first married, and my wife's at a women's retreat. She's not going to hear this, right? But she would go this one way to work. We were in Fort Worth, Texas, and it was a getting out of the freeway kind of thing, but there was like six lanes, and people would be shooting over like three or four lanes at a time, and she would get so frustrated because it was so dangerous. She'd see accidents like once a week in this thing. She would get so scared, right, as she's going through this because she thought somebody was going to hit her, and so she got road rage. And then she'd start following people down the road, and I said, honey, you can't be doing that, right? But she would get so frustrated and so angry, and so I said one day, why don't you go a different way? She did. And she didn't get road rage anymore, right? Sometimes it's that simple. It's just removing yourself from a certain environment that you're in, an environment that's causing you to get discouraged or frustrated or whatever the deal might be. Maybe it's that you need to limit your exposure to discouraging people. Think Eeyore, or think watching the news, how you feel afterwards, or something like that. You say, how are you doing? And they tell you, blah, right? And then how do you feel after they say blah? Well, you want to regurgitate too now, because you want to say blah, and then you have this big moment where you're just kind of throwing up at each other, right? Just experiencing all the discouragement. But that's the way discouragement is. It's sort of like a bad flu. Spread this germ-filled mist all over the place to every part of your life, and it sours your spirit, and because of that, one of the changes sometimes that we need to make is to limit our exposure to certain kinds of people. Now, I'm not saying totally avoid them, right? You love them. You minister to them. You spend time with them. But maybe you just don't join yourself at the hip with them anymore. But you need to do whatever you can to limit yourself to things that are pulling you away from Christ and keeping you from living that bold life that God has for you to live. I mean, I even give you Jesus as an example of that. Jesus ministered to everybody, right? But he limited his exposure to, right, those that he chose to hang out with. Not everybody was one of his 12. Not everybody got to hear all his talks, but they did. And he did the choosing. And what I've just described about changing your environment and changing people, those are, I'll call them external changes. And I'll call them the easy ones, but as I just explained, some of those aren't so easy. But what about the more difficult ones? The changes where you change yourself, where humility is absolutely involved. The internal changes where you change your heart, or you change your thought patterns, or you change your attitudes. All right, so I'll use my kids as an illustration again, the back seat of the car. What I had to do is I had to change my hopes. The hope or the expectation that I had that my three little girls would always act loving toward each other and caring toward each other and uplift one another apparently was totally unrealistic, right? And so my idea of just yelling at them every time that was happening wasn't working. If I have to pull this car over one more time, I'll give you something to yell about, I would say, but it didn't work. And it didn't work for my parents either. They never pulled the car over, and I didn't either. In fact, I would learn to sit right behind my dad so that he couldn't hit me and drive at the same time. It was genius, except then he learned to grab my leg really, squeeze it really hard, and if he got a hold of that, it was a bad day, right? So what I had to do is I had to change my expectations of what was happening. I hope that my kids would never be mean to each other. It was totally unrealistic, so I had to change my hope, and this is what I did. I changed it to a hope that I could use the chaos or the crisis or the conflict that they had in the car, and I could use it as a growth experience for them and make it into sort of a little bednight, you know, curriculum as I was putting the kids to bed, right? So each night, as I was putting them to bed, I would talk about what happened in the car. I would talk about love and values and family and things like that. And pretty soon they got so sick of those talks, right, that they just started behaving in the car. And how do you think they act today in the car? They're amazing, right? And I don't get frustrated as much anymore. Now, they still fight from time to time, and I still try to put an end to it, but it doesn't discourage me anymore, and it doesn't hit my heart the same way anymore. And it's because I've been freed, because I have a different set of expectations. As I'm looking at my kids, I'm recognizing that they're just the way I was with my sister, that they're just being who they are. Now, I still stop fighting, of course, but I don't move to discouragement anymore because I've changed. But I had to change something about me to overcome it. Now, I know that I may have given you some parenting examples today, but this really has very little to do with parenting. I mean, these questions are for anybody, for the teenager, for the college student, for the senior citizen that wishes they were a college student, for everybody, right? But they're reactive questions to discouragement that help you move to the other side of it. I'll give you one more verse just to kind of close up today, and it's from John 14. Jesus said this. He says, "Don't be troubled. You trust in God, now trust in me. There are many rooms in my Father's home, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I would tell you plainly." You know, I love that verse. And I guess as a way of wrapping everything up today, I just want you to, I don't know, imagine that place that Jesus is talking about. He's talking about heaven, right? I want you to, I don't know, think about your place with him. Think about your security with him. Think about how much he loves you. Think about the fact that he's got you. Think about the fact that when everything's going wrong, that he's still working behind the scenes, right, for your good and his glory. Think about how he always walks with you through everything as you go through this life. And you know what's going to happen if you do that? You start planting seeds of spiritual renewal. I'm not making this up. It's actually all the way through Scripture that you see this. The Bible tells us that when Jesus hung on the cross, the disciples were super, super discouraged. It makes sense. He followed Jesus for 3 years. Now he's on the cross dying. It would be discouraging. And not only discouraging, they started to get fearful and all those different things. But you follow along in the story and you say that 3 days later, what happens? Renewal. They saw God in the flesh, that he did what he said he was going to do, that he was who he said he was. They experienced renewal. And I guess that's what I'm asking you to do with your discouragement today. Focus not so much on the stuff inside, but focus on the external. Focus on God instead. And spiritual renewal will happen immediately. Because no matter what you're going through, whether you're the hero of the story or the zero of the story, whether you're winning at life or losing at life, God's promise is that he's at work in your life. His promise is that he's got you. His promise is that he will give you strength to take the next step. His promise is that there's another side to this. The promise is that I'll take you to heaven one day. The promise is, I love you. Truth is, he doesn't want you to be discouraged anymore as you're going through life. He wants you to embrace, not just to remember, but to trust that he's got you as you're going through this crazy world. He wants you to go through life boldly and live the life that he intended for you to live. Guys, go with that encouragement today, and let me pray for you guys. Father, as we go through this series, you know, again, it seems like we don't struggle with them until we start talking about them, and then we're like, oh yeah, I do get discouraged. But Father, there's a lot of hard things that we, I don't know, seem to go through as we traverse this life, and this is a season, I guess, for it. But man, discouragement's real to us. We face it when sometimes when we're doing bills. We face it when we parent our kids. We face it when we watch our adult kids. We face it as we're watching a football game. We face it as just as we're going through life, Lord, and it keeps hitting us. And sometimes it sends us into these valleys where it's hard to get unnegative, where it's hard to see hope, where it's hard to be reminded that you still got us. And so, Father, today, just breathe your word back into us. Remind us of your promises. Remind us that you're there. Remind us that we're forgiven. Remind us that you care. Remind us of all those things, and may it give us the strength, Lord, to move past that yucky season and embrace again that life that you have for us. And that's our prayer today, and we pray it in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.